Radio Boston. I'm Indira Lakshmanan, and we begin today in Philadelphia on day two of the Democratic National Convention. One of tonight's speakers at the DNC will be Erica Smigelski. She's the daughter of Sandy Hook Elementary School principal Don Hawkspring, a victim in the 2012 massacre in Newtown, Connecticut. Following that horrific rampage by a lone gunman who killed 20 children and six adults, Connecticut passed one of the strongest gun control laws in the nation. Earlier today, we spoke with Connecticut's governor, Daniel Malloy. He's co-chair of the Democratic Convention's Platform Committee, chairman of the Democratic Governors Association, and he spoke last night to the convention. We started by asking Governor Malloy about what he wants to hear the party say tonight about gun laws and the Second Amendment.
Well, I think what the party has said, says in its platform and has said every step of the way, is that we should take common sense steps to secure ourselves in this nation. For instance, we should not be selling guns to terrorists in America. 42% of all guns sold in America are not subject to a background check. That's insanity. And then even the background check system we have has been starved off by Republicans in the Congress of the United States. They won't give enough money to have a system that works routinely in the appropriate time. The gun that was purchased in Charleston at that terrible church shooting was basically sold to that young man because the background check couldn't be completed within 3 days, so he automatically got it. Hey, listen, if I'm a terrorist and I can go in and try to buy a gun and just hope that they don't get the paperwork done in 3 days and I get my gun and I can go to some nightclub in any town or city and kill people.
Well, let's talk about that, because one of the recent proposals on national gun control is the so-called no-fly, no-buy proposal, which would be aimed at people who are suspected terrorists on the no-fly list. It's kind of stunning to a lot of Americans that anyone who's on the no-fly list is not automatically forbidden from buying a weapon, but at this point they're not. Gun advocates like the NRA say that such a law would be a slippery slope chipping away at Second Amendment rights. What's your response to them?
Wait a minute. Terrorists do not have a Second Amendment right to own a gun. The NRA will say anything and do anything, including telling lies, to win their argument. We've got to decide that we're in charge, not the NRA. We've got to decide that we elect congressmen and senators or state representatives and state senators who are going to execute the policies that the people of our country overwhelmingly want. They want universal background checks.
When speakers at the Republican convention last week implied that Hillary Clinton would take away Second Amendment rights, and Donald Trump came out really strong telling gun owners, I'm the only one who's going to protect you, how do you reassure independents or people in the middle, people who might have some appeal to the Democratic Party, but at the same time, they believe in their gun rights? How does Hillary Clinton walk that fine line to sort of assure everyone?
I mean, she does, because if somebody thinks that someone's actually out to take their gun away, they're probably lost to the same argument about making sure that things are subject to universal background check. If you buy that NRA argument, you've already turned yourself over to the NRA. The reality is no one's having their guns taken away. What we're talking about is making sure that we have a universal background system so that we're not selling guns to people with mental illness. We're not selling guns to people the day they get out of prison from a felony conviction. We're not selling guns to people who might be terrorists. I mean, this is common sense stuff. We've done it in Connecticut. We haven't taken anyone's gun away that had a right to have that gun. And I'm all for the ability to appeal any decision that's made.
This is such a personal issue for you because you were governor in 2012 and you had to talk to the families. I mean, I can't even imagine having to talk to the parents of 20 young children who were gunned down, plus the six adults. I imagine that every time there's another gun massacre in America, like what happened in Orlando recently, you're probably on the phone talking to the governors. Since this is something that has touched you so personally, what is your plan for how we can prevent more and more of these Sandy Hook and Orlando killings from taking place?
We should elect Hillary Clinton as president of the United States, somebody who's got the guts to take on the NRA, and simply get our country to the point where we have common sense rules and regulations about gun ownership. That's number one. Number two, it was a searing experience having to explain to those families that they would not be reunited with their loved one that day. It does change you a little bit, and I suppose that sometimes I come at this pretty hard, but I don't want to see other families have to go through what that family did. Recently, I was down in Orlando, and I made a stop at the Pulse nightclub just to visit and express my condolences on a broader basis to the gay and Latino community in Orlando that clearly was set upon by this individual. We should make America safe. That's what we should do.
Governor, let me ask you something personal, because in some ways, the struggles that you've faced in Connecticut are a microcosm of the challenges that the Democratic Party is facing nationwide. You were, of course, praised by your Democratic base at first for raising taxes on the rich, raising the minimum wage, paid sick leave, criminal justice reform. But in this year's budget, you rejected a third tax increase because high taxes were chasing away business and pushed for cuts in spending and public sector jobs instead. So you were once the darling of labor and progressives. Now you're facing some of the lowest approval ratings of any governor in America. I want to ask you, from your own experience, how can Hillary Clinton promote the progressive agenda that many Democrats want without finding herself in the same position?
Well, first of all, she's not in the same position. She's not running for governor. She's running for president of the United States. Governors have to make hard decisions. Recently in Massachusetts, you've discovered that you have a rather large deficit. We figured that out earlier in Connecticut and responded earlier to it in Connecticut. We watched what was going on in estimates and finals as far as how people were paying their taxes, and we realized that we had to tighten our belt.
But pardon me for interrupting, but presidents do, of course, have to deal with business taxes as well. And American businesses have complained that if corporate taxes get too high, they will continue to move jobs and factories overseas. So she very much does face the same kinds of challenges that you've faced. If she tries to raise taxes, if she tries to put in a lot of the progressive agenda that her base and Bernie Sanders' base have both called for, she's going to face a lot of backlash from Republicans and from corporate America.
Well, I think Democrats think that we should have a tax reform, and I think a lot of Democrats think that we should take a very serious look at the corporate tax rate in America. But a lot of Democrats also believe that we should stop incentivizing companies to move jobs overseas. We shouldn't reward them for that. And that's the language that's in our platform.
Last question. Let me ask you, what do you hope that a Clinton victory, if it happens, would bring for New England?
Well, I think a renewed interest in infrastructure, which would benefit New England. We have some of the oldest transportation infrastructure, particularly on the rail lines. And I know that she is keenly interested in infrastructure investment and moving the national economy forward by investing in infrastructure, just the jobs that are created, but understands that fundamentally we need to modernize our highways, our mass transit systems, our water systems, our sewer systems, and we need to invest in those. She's going to fight for it.
All right. Governor Dan Malloy of Connecticut, also chairman of the Democratic Governors Association, thanks so much for joining us in Radio Boston.
Happy to do it.